Hey, welcome to the Linux Link Tech Show.
That worked out really nice there.
69. Who's screaming 69. Out in the background?
Now? La, la, la.
La, la, la. Ah, a little bit of a problem this evening connecting to BinRev Radio, which means we're not streaming through them. Unfortunately, it turns out that I'm not supposed to put the HTTP in front of there, apparently.
Oh, is that what it was?
That must be it. I thought I did that last week. And
you can't connect now then, right?
No, you only get that like 1 minute in there. And if you sit there, and I thought... You know,
listen, guys, I've been revved. You know, we got to work on this, man. That's tough for us to do, to get that just right.
It's tough for us to start on time anytime.
It's hard for us to get going anyway.
I thought it was the password. I'm like, they got to retype the password in. They got to retype. And then, you know, I'm like, man, what's wrong? And I'm like, I double-checked everything, and everything looked fine.
Is it loud? Everybody, you listening?
So I think I heard some clipping before.
Is it loud?
The master was on 10.
Turn it down a little bit. Yeah, that's a little... We'll put it.
So when
let's go to 11. There.
Yeah. We'll just have to next week.
We'll down a little bit.
Have to write that down and remember it. That stuff.
Yeah, so. What Dan said.
Unfortunately, we're not on there right now. Oh well. Happy day.
Yep.
You'll just have to come to our stream to hear us live or get the podcast. That's it. I'm done for tonight. I'll see you guys later.
Okay.
Thank you and good night.
Whether you are just interested in learning what Linux is or you're a guru in good standing, there's something for you at the Southern California Linux Expo. We have speakers on introductory topics for beginners, as well as more advanced topics for IT professionals and software developers. We're working on bringing some of the most influential people in open source to scale, including John Mad Dog Hall of Linux International and kernel developer Randy Dunlap. Scale isn't just a business show. We invite local Linux user groups to demo Linux applications, part of the reason Scale has been called the premier grassroots Linux show in the United States. So mark your calendar. Scale 3X, the third annual Southern California Linux Expo, will be February 12th and 13th, 2005, at the Los Angeles Convention Center. For more information, visit our website at socallinuxexpo.com. We will see you there.
Hey, this is Matthew Bischoff for Escape from the World, and you're listening to the Linux Link Tech Show.
As if they didn't know.
That's right.
We got to tell them.
You are.
We got to tell them again and again and again.
Listening to the Linux Link Tech Show.
Listening. Fantastic show last week.
Yeah.
Marcel Gagné. Pat was here. Alan wasn't.
But I'm here now.
What's the dealio? Alan was on the Skype, but didn't hear much from him.
Well, I was telling Link on the way over, because we rode over, it was different, because you don't have the interaction between us.
Right.
The smell of gas and everything, you know.
I wasn't missing that, I'll tell you.
Next week is Mike Stutz.
Oh, so you are going to announce it?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, okay.
Well, I think you just did.
Well, I didn't know if you wanted to announce it or not. I guess you did. So we have, yeah.
I put it on my
blog for, you know, people to check out the show, because we had some announcements about some cool goings on. So that's one of
cool
them right
going
there.
On. That's it. And up and coming. Who else do we have coming up on the show in a couple of weeks?
Leo Laporte.
And who is Leo Laporte?
He's a guy from Tech TV.
Yeah,
man.
For those people who don't know, who've never watched Tech TV like me, I've never seen an episode of Tech TV because I don't get it.
I just started getting it, and I haven't, like, seen a whole lot of it.
You have RCN digital, right?
Yeah.
See, I don't have digital, and it only comes in over digital. And I don't think... Do they make those available over the internet for download for shows?
But yeah, I think you can get them somehow, some way.
I went to his page, and I saw, I guess he does a synopsis of the episode or whatever
right.
that he did, and the questions that were on there. He seems pretty window-centric. Just a couple of questions that I looked at.
I'll have to see, huh?
Well, Tech TV is pretty window-centric.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which, you know, I'm all, you know, it's great that we have this guy coming on, but what does this have to do with Linux?
I have to ask our PR guy. Yeah.
Let's find out. I think we need to get a hold of Pat so we can get some good questions for him, too, because, like, I don't get to see Tech TV at all. I don't, you know.
Right, so.
I don't get it. I got, like, RCN cable around here, and there's nothing.
We should get Pat to, like, record us a whole bunch of episodes.
Yeah, that's what we got to do. But, no, he does have some, he does do some podcasting stuff, too, and I've heard his name bantered around and some stuff via the podcasts. Which is pretty cool. So, you know, and then who is it we have next week again?
Mike Stutz.
That's right, Mike Stutz, who wrote
the Linux Cookbook.
Who wrote the Linux Cookbook, both versions 1 and 2.
Version
1, right?
Yeah, 1 and 2.
First edition and second edition. Second edition, that's a big book.
That's right, and not only is it a big book, I don't want to spoil it like for everybody, but if you haven't seen this book yet, go get it. You got a whole week, man. Just go get it.
It's a good book.
Go pick it up. The Linux Cookbook is a really good book. And go get it, and, you know, maybe we can get some of your questions and stuff like that. And
yeah, if you have any questions, like, email us.
Yeah, definitely. And that goes for all of our guests, too. Like, we have Michael next week, and then we have Leo Laporte, and then we have, it slips me, somebody from Novell.
But I thought that's not on the show, though. That is when we go
no,
up
No, we're doing it. Yeah, we're interviewing them when we go to the Linux World Expo.
Yeah, and that's in 2 weeks.
Right.
So I don't think we have a guest scheduled for the 16th,
no,
I believe it is.
Is that when we're going to do Leo?
No. I told them not to schedule for 16 in case something happens that we get stuck in traffic
after that, yeah.
And we can't get back here in time because we're coming back on Wednesday.
Well, anyway, we need user feedback. Mail us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. Make sure you do this. Come up with some good questions, things that you guys would like to hear. You know, not just the canned crap. You know, everybody else that interviews people, they have those stupid canned questions. We don't want to be like that.
We want your
us,
questions.
Yeah. Email us some good questions to ask some of these people, things that you would like to hear. And, you know, we'll put them on the hotspot. We'll grill them out for you and see what happens. It'll be fun. But like I said, we have Michael next week.
Stutz.
Michael Stutz. And then we have somebody from Novell. I can't remember. Who was it from Novell?
I'll look it up. I think I got the email.
The person from Novell is Kevin Barney.
Is it? That's one of their PR guys,
yes.
Right? Okay, we got a PR guy from Novell, so we really want to grill him hard. Make sure you give us some good questions for them.
I have some questions for them because I run Novell at work.
And also, we're going to... Who is the guy from... Boy, really horrible names. The guy from Linux Questions? Was his name Jason? Or?
Well, I have no idea what you're talking about now.
But he's going to be there, and we're going to talk to him.
Oh, at the expo.
Yeah.
I thought you meant coming on the show.
No, at linuxquestions.org. We're going to meet him at the expo.
Maybe we can get the some developers from Ubuntu.
Yeah.
Ubuntu.
Just for all you British people out there.
Ubuntu. Ubuntu out there.
I know that Dan wasn't like... I listened to the Lug Radio, right? The last episode. And they're cutting on Dan for saying Ubuntu. So even though I know that Dan didn't listen to it yet because he's always so far behind in his podcast that when I came here tonight, I had to bust on him about it, about the Ubuntu thing. I told him that, you know, specifically that guys from Lug Radio were picking on him this week. I thought it was funny for once.
Yeah. Who keeps ordering stuff from CafePress.com and using the Tech Show email?
I ordered
because it's
stuff.
Like it comes to the Tech Show email. Yeah. Says, your Cafe Press order has shipped. What did you order?
Stuff. I got some giveaway stuff. I bought 10 buttons. You know, little like pin-on buttons.
Oh yeah.
Tech Show. And I got 10 magnets, which are just pretty much the button, only they have a magnetic back on them.
Huh. I know Alan got a hat.
Ooh. Yeah, I got,
Alan
a hat.
Got a hat, yeah.
Because I saw it on your blog.
It's ugly, but I got a hat.
Actually, you just get some bumper stickers.
Actually, it's just frightening because I look frightening in a hat, period. So.
You should get some bumper stickers and giveaways.
See, there you go. Ooh. I was thinking about that, you know, and I ordered us some business cards.
Yeah, but the bumper stickers, that all starts to add up the money there.
Yeah, well, not that we have very many of them. Added up the money to, for me, too. You know, I spent $50 on this stuff so far. So.
That's a lot. Hey, you know, speaking of money, I got some guy from an advertising agency emailed me and asked, you know, hey, can we put ads, like 6 ads on your homepage? We'll pay you $60 a month. And I'm like, yeah. You know.
For the tech show?
No, for just the Linux Link.
Oh, the Linux Link. Oh. And, what kind of ads?
He said
like
that
Wonder Bras or
no? He said that it would be non-adult oriented ads, and if any of the ads we had objection to, for any reason, that they would replace them with something else. He said for 6 ads, like $10 a month for each ad. Little, I think he even said it was like a text ad. Not a grad, and I was like, yeah, I could, but I don't know. I'm not into that. I could use the money though, but I don't know. That's just, and actually, you know, we'll come back to that using the money or anything. But one thing I wanted to bring up that I didn't mention last week regarding the pre-show from the previous week when I got that Netgear WMA111. USB dongle wireless adapter, and we found out afterwards that yes, the WMA111 will work. Version 1 will work. They have a version 2 out, which doesn't work. And you can actually, if you go to NewsForge right now, actually I'll go to NewsForge right now and get you the link to the article. There's an article on NewsForge right that was on the side. I looked at it yesterday about wireless Wi-Fi networking and Linux. It was part one of the article.
Uh-huh.
And they bring that up. They bring that up about, you know, you got to be really careful with what cards you buy, because a lot of them did or do work with Linux, but they come out with a new, you know, radio transceiver on their chipset. And
yeah, it's a chipset.
The end of that.
They're screwing up.
Right. So, I think it's Linux wire, no. I'll have to look up the link and I'll post it.
People want to know what kind of wireless cards are working with Mac PPC or with Linux PPC. It's any card, any wireless card that works with Linux will work with Linux PPC as well, as long as like it's supported. Like you can't put a PCMCIA card in a card bus only slot. You know,
right.
If you have. Look on a compatibility list. If there's a card bus card that says it works with Linux under PPC, it works with Linux under x86, it works with Linux, period. And that goes for the rest of them. Well, the one that are you using the D-Link right now, Dan?
No, I'm wired in DWL-122.
That's that
Is it
D-Link DWL-122? That's a USB one, right?
A USB one. It works great.
That's the one. We all have one of them over here. So if you're looking for one that you're sure will work, like, we all have one and we all use them.
It's the USB dongle of the Linux Link Tech Show.
USB is our officially supported Linux Link Tech Show USB dongle.
Don't,
it does work really well.
Don't go to Price Watch to get it. Go to Amazon. Amazon, I found, has the best price on it. It's like 30-some bucks. I think it's like $36, $35. Price Watch, the lowest was $39 or $40. So Amazon beats them by a couple of dollars.
Yeah.
And I bought one on a Friday, and it was shipped on Monday. It arrived. And then I bought another one Sunday,
like,
and it didn't come until Thursday.
Did you check Best Buy when you were looking around for that?
Yes, I did. They didn't have any.
They don't have any more.
Actually, when I went to Best Buy, I hate going to Best Buy.
No, but I mean, you can't order
that's
them from
the
them
worst.
Or something?
What, BestBuy.com? Yeah. You know what? They didn't have it any cheaper, I don't think. When I went to the actual store, they didn't have any USB.
Oh,
that's a nightmare when you go. I'll tell you.
Well, that's a nightmare. That store is a nightmare only because of how they screwed up the parking lot.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, it's like they let the parking lot exits into an entrance ramp.
There's a back exit.
Yeah, there's a back exit.
Which goes around, and it doesn't make it any easier.
No, but I mean you have a little more space to veer off of that exit ramp.
Well, you veer off, but then you still got to get onto MacArthur Road.
Right, that's
which is still suicide at any
because you're fighting that intersection right there, just right at the top. And when the light turns, you only have that one time when it's the traffic heading east, I believe it is, when they go, that you might be able to get out of that parking lot.
Yeah, it's a
then everybody else up in front of you is like pulling out. You're right, Al. That is a horrible, horrible area.
Yeah.
But, yeah, when you go into the stores these days to just buy a Linux, you know, a wireless adapter that would run with Linux, I was even on the freaking phone with you.
Yep.
When I was doing that. Will this work? Well, it looks like it'll work. Well, I didn't think to check version.
Check versions, yeah.
Version number. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times.
Well, it's just like that WPC11 card. Remember
yeah,
that?
The compatibility lists that you look at don't list anything about version numbers because. Chances are that version just came out that month or something.
Sure.
It's brand new. Brand new. And that sucks. But the USB Ethernet card that I got, the just a regular Ethernet, the one that you plug in.
Was it a Belkin or something
like
that? Yeah,
that worked great. No problem at all getting that to run.
That is cool.
Yes, it works pretty good. It's... But I don't have any. I bought it to use primarily with that beast over there, which runs like a dog, because I can't find the Frankenstein to put in
memory,
which sucks. But maybe I can find some cheap memory.
Frankenstein
for it.
Ran away.
I don't know what happened to it. I thought it was around here somewhere. I don't remember taking it anywhere. I don't think I threw it out. You know, probably when I was cleaning my office, I said, "Yeah, I could run it as a headless machine, but I don't think I'm going to." And then just tossed it.
For people who don't know, Frankenstein is the laptop from hell.
Yeah, it kept going
with all the pieces with all the pieces missing on it.
I tell you, that was the best damn laptop, man. You guys beat the hell out of that thing. It kept working.
It wouldn't quit.
It's like you take that thing to batting practice, and it would still work afterwards. You know?
Yeah, wouldn't quit. Yeah, I found the article. I posted the link on the chat. But there we go. Hey, you know, on another topic, this isn't my idea, and I forget, somebody on BinRev Radio, I was listening to one of the podcasts from an earlier episode in January. I forget what it was, but he kind of brought up a good idea. He said that would be nice to have, like, in man pages, a link in the man page to go to, like, a man page forum where you can discuss that. That command. You understand what I'm saying?
I do, but you know what I think would be better?
Huh.
If they would just provide some more sane examples.
Right, but I mean, just think about
just
it.
Just write it sanely.
No, well, I mean, you know, they make these commands. They do everything under the sun. Like, they have 4,700 command line switches, you know, for everything. And, like, the only... And sometimes they write things so technically oriented... The only way you can figure out what it does is by looking at the examples that they provide at the bottom. However, some commands don't give you an example, so you know you're really stuck if you don't already have some kind of clue as to how things work.
It reminds me of one of the user-friendlies, a comic strip. The last thing, they did the same example. They were trying to read a man page. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I'll have to get back to you. I got to run it through my Spidey decoder RAM.
Right.
But think about it, though. If there was like a little forum. I'm surprised it hasn't been done yet. If there was like a little forum area that people can discuss. Because I know for a fact that if you try and look up documentation on the web aside from the man page for using SED, it's a nightmare. Because there's different versions of SED running around out there. And
what's worse is, like, you look up the man page for SED, right, and it says, and there's only a two-paragraph response, and it says, look at the info page, and you look at the info page, and it's not there.
Look at the man page. But why hasn't anybody put something like that together? I thought, you know, I wonder, what if we threw something up like that off of this other IP address I have? I mean, how
just
would we...
Just put a giant repository of...
Just throw a form up there for, you know, start off with a couple, you know, start off a couple commands. Because, you know, hey, new people would be really interested in that. Have a couple people moderating it, you know, like somebody could take a command and just moderate. They don't mean they have to know the command very well, but they could just moderate it, get the word out there, and then watch my connection go straight into hell.
Pretty much, yeah.
But, you know, it's just a thought. I think, you know, hey, that wouldn't, maybe it would it'd be worth exploring.
I don't think anybody
has done that yet. The guy had a really good idea. Somebody's got to run with it.
They have a lot of really good, and not entirely similar, but it's along the same lines. The information that's provided by Jeremy, I think that's what his name is, at linuxquestions.org.
Right.
That is it. You know, I just went and visited. I can remember, like, when it first started up, I go in there and I was checking it. It was like a little, like a weblog kind of thing, right?
Uh-huh.
And I went there the other day and checked it out, and good God, there's like, you know, there's like 11,000 users, and there's 50-something forums or whatever, you know, I was really blown away by it. And there's a lot of really good information floating around on there, too. They have forums for every kind of thing you could, you know, every distribution you can think of. And it was pretty cool. Yeah, check that out. Linux.
LinuxQuestions.org. Yeah, I've been going to that for a while now. It's a nice little forum they have there.
I was really impressed with that. That's pretty good stuff.
But how... I guess, you know, when you think about it, doing a man forum and having a forum for each individual command, that's a lot of separate
little forums, yeah.
There's a lot of stuff, man.
Yeah.
But if you're going to do forums like that, you have to have, like, here's one of the things that I really dislike about that. What's the forum program that we've been using? BB something? What's it called?
BB.
Like, it's not searchable.
You know what I mean? That's searchable.
Is there a search thing on there?
Yeah, there's a big search thing at the top. It says search.
Get out of here. Is that something new you put on there?
No, it's been there since the beginning.
You're BSing
it
me,
says,
man.
You see it? It's at
no.
the top. It
oh,
says,
I got to check this out. Because like, that's the one forum. Thing that I've been noticing on forums that's really been teeing me off is that I... You know, you want to search for something, and there's no freaking search thing. There's no search box.
Look right at the top, and right up here.
I'm getting there. Not because I don't believe you, but because I don't believe you.
You can search in all of them. You can search in individual forums. You can search by who posted, all sorts of different
things. Unless your last time I logged into the forum.
Yeah, it's searchable.
Yeah, it's been a while there. It's about the last time you posted on your webpage, Alan.
It's only been a week.
Jeez.
I put the hat up there last Wednesday.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember the hat. Okay.
Or maybe Thursday. I can't help
it.
Nothing's
happened. Oh, it's not. See, I've been looking for all this time. I've been looking for, like, the little search box at the top. It's a link.
Yeah.
It's a link.
So quit your complaining.
It's a link. See, that's what it should have, the little box, so you can know what the hell you're talking about. Dan is a PUD.
You're not going to find it, but you'll find my name in there.
Oh, it says Dan is a PUD like 50 times.
Look at that, huh?
PUD.
Everybody's going to look at the three posts of mine in there.
Wait, we can...
Yeah, well, that
no, Alan, you actually posted 8 times.
Oh, 8? Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
No way.
Alan posted 8. Link, you posted 64. Patrick posted 120.
Patrick is the man, I'm telling you.
I posted 123.
And he's the one that's been getting us all these cool interviews and stuff, too. So he definitely gets the clap of happiness.
Hopefully it's just not the clap.
Yeah. Not just the clap, you know. But.
The clash.
Yeah, the clash.
So what else is up?
What else is up?
Designing web pages sucks.
Yes.
It sucks. Why can't we all just work
Get
together?
Along.
Yes. We have to design a page for one browser separately than a different browser because they don't all work together.
But you know what? You don't if you stay away from the crazy kinky crap. You know what I mean?
But everybody wants the crazy kinky crap.
The problem that you're running into is that you got to have...
The drop-down menus.
You got to have the pretty little drop-down menus and the little swirly things and the flash stuff. And then, you know, just... Put the
well,
stuff.
Because everybody's used to doing it in front page.
Yeah, but
does
know,
all that crap
just
for you.
Put the damn information on a web page and make it legible, and you know, make it standards compliant so you can read it in any browser, and you're good. You know, why do you gotta have all that fancy drop down menu crappy stuff? And
because eye candy is good.
Yeah, but there are other ways around that. You know what I mean? Like, you can use sharp-looking graphics or something.
Yeah.
And have a really bang-up-looking website with sharp-looking graphics that also is functional under, like, links or something like that, too. You know what I mean?
Even, well, I agree with you.
You know, it all depends on your outlook, I guess. But and not that I don't like, you know, Flash websites. Some of them are pretty funny, you know? And they have, like, those Flash games that you can play this one.
The games
cool
are really
too
good.
But, you know, for just your average website where you're trying to go get some information, why not make it, you know, usable and legible and, you know, leave the firecrackers off for something else. Put it in your software. Put some, you know, development time in your damn software, people.
Ooh. You know, I posted a question to the forum about, you know, open source alternatives to video and Flash. And one thing came back was DivX, which is, have you installed the DivX codex and watched DivX movies? What's your impression of DivX?
Works fine. Works fine. I never had a problem with it.
Well, I haven't had a problem with it either.
I mean, I put the codex in there and you know, it just does its thing. I never had a problem.
I thought, Bumper's pretty good. Now, who was it that said, well, what about using SVG instead of Flash? SVG is vector-based graphics.
Right.
And that's not animation or...
it's just pretty lines.
Right. It's not animated. I don't think you can animate SVG, nor can you... not accept user input or do some scripting with it. Like you can with Flash. So, I don't think there's an open source alternative to Flash yet.
I don't know.
Do it all in Perl, right?
Sure.
And Ruby.
Sure. Sure. Why not just, you know...
Smoke signals.
Write your web page in HTML and have it work.
Yeah, that was Nintendo who said that. But, yeah, it's good. Yeah, right. DivX, FLAC for audio. And...
You know, that's some nice stuff, but, you know, why rock the boat, you know?
Well, it's good stuff on sites that specifically are you're looking for that sort of thing. But if you're just looking
sure
for general information...
Well, no, like if you were going to your favorite gaming site or something, like, you would expect...
Yeah, that's
right,
the type of site
to
it's
see
good
something
for
like that. Now, like, I go to sci-fi.com, right? Because I'm a sci-fi nut. So I go to sci-fi.com so I can check the TV schedule and stuff. And many times they will have a Flash movie going on there, a preview of an upcoming episode or something like that. That's fine. You know, it's in a little box, not the whole site, just a little box going on. You can tell it to start, tell it to stop. And again, this is sci-fi.com. It's a media enterprise. Okay.
You expect it there.
Now, contrast that with like going to Dell's website or something. Not that Dell has this on there, but you know what I'm talking about. Like your average business website, and you go to your business website, and the entire website front page is this stupid Flash movie that's playing and does this thing for like 20 minutes while it's loading or whatever before you can even get in there long enough to check, you know, hard drive parameters or some stupid, you know what I mean? That's the kind of thing that really irritates me. You have to go through all of that crap just to get some stupid piece of information that should be plainly accessible. Yeah.
Apparently SVG can be animated. I stand corrected again.
Actually, you're sitting. So you said corrected.
I said corrected. Well, I asked you, and you just give me that look.
I don't. Well, I don't know. You know, if you say so, yeah. I guess I can.
Hmm.
Let's now see. Is that some other crap I would have to install in order to see that? I've never seen an SVG animated site. I mean.
You have to have a browser that is SVG enabled and
okay. So we're talking about getting into browser compatibility issues right, again, right? So
I know that I don't think by default there is a version of Mozilla that you can get that supports SVG animation. I'm not sure that Firefox does. At least the Firefox I'm using right here doesn't support SVG animation.
You ever heard anybody call Mozilla Modzilla?
No. I don't. I barely hear anybody say Mozilla.
No, I'm Mod. M-O-D-Zilla. I hear that all the time. I do not know where the D is coming from, people, but I hear a lot of people call it Modzilla.
Excuse me.
Mod. It's a pet peeve of mine. Do not call it Modzilla.
Have you,
No D. Boom.
Have you checked out MVU yet?
No.
It's not too bad.
I've used it to work on Windows.
You know what? I was looking at it.
Not for a whole lot of things. But
I looked at the webpage, and it looks really nice.
But?
Well, no. Wow. No, it really does. It looks really nice, and I would use it if that was the kind of thing that I used.
Right.
I have also checked out on a couple of different occasions. Was it Quark? What is it called?
Yeah, Quark.
Is it Quark? Quark Express?
Quark Express? What are you checking that out on? That doesn't run on Linux. You talking about Scribus?
No.
Quantus.
Quanta.
Quanta Plus. That's Quantus. What I'm talking about.
Okay.
Quanta, which
I'm reading it here, and I still can't pronounce it right.
It's in the KDE packages and stuff like that. That is a similar kind of deal, and also...
Quanta's not WYSIWYG.
Yeah, it is.
It is?
It's got the little preview thing. You can...
Not the version I got going here.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't... Quanta's not WYSIWYG. Quanta's like Bluefish on steroids.
All right, well, anyway, I'm looking at these things.
That's a poor example, I know.
You know, they're pretty cool, but it's something that I would not use. You know, and I thought about, and especially when you were writing about it, or talking about it before, I thought about, you know, downloading it and checking it out, but it's just not something that I would use. My version of programming web pages is, you know, using VI.
Right.
And making the damn thing and checking it out under Firefox or whatever. And my version of coding in C or, you know, shell scripting or what have you is, again, using VI and turning on the syntax colors, you know what I mean? And doing it that way, and it seems
to
work
good. Just because
you
like pain, Link.
It's like a minimalist thing, you know? I don't have any extra interface layers in the way of me doing things, and I just have my little stuff going on there, and I can check it out on the other half of the screen if I want to. So it's just not something that I would use. However, that's just me. There are a lot of people who really dig that kind of thing where they have the button and they can drag and drop the stuff in their web page, and it really works good for them. And that looks like it's, you know, that would be just the trick for something like that.
What, MVU?
No, because I don't like do my pages and stuff that way. I just...
So I like Bluefish.
See, now, I think Bluefish is still too much. And that's the most minimalist out of the three we're just talking about. NVU and Quanta and Bluefish. And it's still too much for me. It's too much in the way.
See, now, when I'm sitting having to redesign this one site, and when you have to do multiple things over and over again, it's so easy to just pull it into Bluefish and... take care of it.
Isn't it easy just cutting? I see, now, like, the most interface I want is, like, if I'm on one of them days where I really don't want to be bothered with anything and I want a whole lot of easy tool interface, I'll go from VI to GVim.
Yeah.
Then we're talking, right? Because I have the little, I can drag and drop crap from the, you know. That's what I do.
Yeah, baby.
For those days when you really want to go extravagant.
Yeah, that's my extravagant day. And then I don't have to, like, type syntax on. I can go up to the syntax widget at the top and drag down to on, and on it goes.
Are you using, are you using the version for X, then, you're saying?
Or yeah, that would be GVim. Yeah.
GVim, where you do that. Cause,
it would be.
Yeah.
Hello, Dan.
I'm trying to listen
over
to you.
There compiling his freaking kernel.
I'm trying to listen to you and read what's on the chat at the same time, so it's really hard. But hey, you know.
Oh, so don't pay attention to me. That's what is going on, right?
That's it. The new version of NVU was released yesterday.
But I have looked at that, and I looked at the website, and it looks pretty groovy if that's the kind of thing you're into. And like, if that's the kind of thing I was into, I would probably try it. The only thing I can, the only negative that I could come up with about that sort of thing is, doesn't that have like that almost like front pages kind of crap in it? Like it puts, you know what I mean? It decides how to put the tags in for you. And
it does it a lot better.
It does all of that. Well, I'm not saying it would be anything
front
page.
Yeah, you do have, you know, but any type of those applications you use,
right.
They can kind of override what you want
to really happen.
That's
what I'm getting at, yeah.
But you have the option to make it use styles instead of, you know, the old formatting tags. So it does It does a pretty good job. Comparably, you know, you do a page in that and a page in front page, and there's a lot less code.
Well, I'm sure it doesn't do... Like, front page just puts huge
MSO
amounts
normal.
Of... Yeah,
MSO
huge
normal.
Of code in there. And,
MSO normal.
That's just a horrible thing. But and I'm sure that...
NBPS. Ampersand. Yeah. NBPS.
I
mean, semicolon.
That's kind of the crap that Bluefish used to put in the pages when I first started looking at that. And
Bluefish?
Really,
Bluefish is a text editor. It doesn't put anything in the pages.
It puts the stuff in, and it does your... You know, I think it does your tags and your links wonky and crap like that. But
what do you mean? It's just a stinking text editor.
It's because I'm
how do you say that it adds that stuff in? It doesn't.
It's
you have to type the tags
minimalist.
In.
Minimalist.
You
I
have
like
to type the tags in.
Doing it myself.
Or you can highlight something and then put the tags in between,
like,
but it doesn't add
doing
anything
it
else.
Myself.
Are you sure you're talking about Bluefish and not?
Yeah, I am.
Not
and the same thing with
I don't even know what the heck you'd be talking about.
Quanta, you know, it pissed me off about Quanta. It's I pulled in one of my, in fact, it was one of the archive pages for the tech show. I pulled in through Quanta just to, you know, like just to look at it, and it changed the header tag. It changed like the HTML 3.0 transitional or 4.0 changed a freaking tag on me. That really pissed me off, man. Don't do that to my HTML.
I've never had Bluefish change anything on me unless I change it myself.
I've never used it.
Or if I ran the HTML tidy stuff. Boy, that does a job.
Tidy does it well. And you got to be careful with that, too, man.
That can really change your page.
That can wreck your crap right there. And here's a tip, right? Tidy is an awesome program. Do not ever use Tidy on a PHP file. Don't do it, man, because it will suck that PHP in, and what it spits out is anything but PHP. And it will not work anymore, ever. HTML, hey, it's awesome for that. You can take some scrubby little, you know, web page and suck it in and spit it out, and everything's all nice and pretty and tab formatted for you and the whole bit, and it's a wonderful thing, but good God, don't do it if there's any PHP in there. I haven't tried it with anything with, like, large amounts of JavaScript either, but that'd probably be all right because they're well commented out and stuff. PHP really isn't. It just kind of hangs out in there.
Bam, bam, bam.
Yeah.
I like Bluefish because it makes me happy. And I like Alan, too, because he makes me happy.
I see you're wearing your shirt tonight.
Yes.
You and me dancing.
It's frightening. It's just so, the wife, is just so scary.
The wife still doesn't understand why I want to wear this in public.
It's okay, neither do I.
Hey, now that was like, I worked hard on that picture, man. That's a good picture.
Yeah. I look at it and laugh every time because it's such a good picture.
I know you're going to wear that at the expo, too.
You're darn right. We interviewed.
Oh, you're on the shirt.
When we interviewed that guy with Novell, I would be wearing the shirt standing right there.
Oh, man.
In fact, I'll have my arm around you, Alan. Where's the dance tonight?
I am not gay.
Dan's going to wear that shirt, and Alan's going to wear a big shirt that says, I am not gay. Yeah. That's funny.
I caught the
that's
fever.
It's a riot, man. It really is a riot. All the weird crap that we've come up with here in the show, that's got to take the cape.
That's it.
And, like, if you guys want to know what we're talking about, go to the main tech show webpage, and that little ad on the side that says buy me. Click on that and then check out the t-shirts. The one with Dan and Alan, like, doing this dance and Dan's all, you know, guzzied up as a girl. That's the shirt that they're talking about. That's really funny.
What are you going to do?
That was when we were all busting on each other and gimping each other's pictures.
Hey, when's the Linux show coming back?
Linux show? We are the Linux show. Aren't we?
You really want to be associated that way?
Well, we're the American Linux show, pretty much, at this point in time.
Premier American show.
Even though, you know, even though the Brits over there in the UK keep saying that they are. They're the premier Linux show now, and, you know, that they're just better than us.
I think we still Google out at number one.
I'll concede to them anytime as soon as they catch up with the number of shows that we've done. So they're on show number 8 now, and we're on 69. They have a lot of catching up to do. If they do, you know, one every day or two, they might catch up. Next year.
And we have the Tech Show webpage has some problems with Safari.
Problems with Safari? Yeah, there's a problem with that. You're not running Linux.
We're causing some problems with Firefox, too.
Does it really?
Yeah, go look at the ad. For some reason, the text is flowing into the ad. For TLLTS Showtimes.
That is not good.
How'd that happen?
Not good at all. Not good at all. You've been breaking stuff.
I haven't touched the you're the one that put that together. I didn't touch that.
Well, I don't see anything. Look.
Yeah, you see anything? Looks all right.
Fine to me.
Take a look at it on mine.
I don't know. Perhaps I will have to check that out in multiple browsers now and see.
Oh, you know what? For some reason it corrected itself. I've gone to the site twice, once at work and once here today, just now, and the text flowed right into the ad. I don't know why I did it, but it's not doing it anymore.
How about that?
That was really odd.
I was going to say, I don't see any text flowing in there.
Yeah.
You know what? The website's due for an update and upgrade anyway, I think. What do you guys think? Do something new with it sometimes?
Yeah.
Sounds good.
I think so. So that's another thing we're looking for then. Email us with ideas for redoing the Tech Show
drop-down
website.
Menus.
Yeah, keep your drop-down menus to yourself, man. Drop-down menus. Something nice and simple and clean and good-looking.
Drop-down menus?
Easy to navigate.
We need some Flash on there. Flash animation.
Yeah, Flash animation.
We need to design the whole site in Flash.
Yeah, but we need... Yeah. If you have a Flash-capable browser, we need to default to SVG. If you have an SVG capable browser, we need to default to Flash.
Yeah, we need some nice little.
All right. We just make it like difficult. And if you come in with Linux, it says it only works with Microsoft. If you come in with Microsoft, it says it only works with
and it directs
Mac
you,
OS.
When you come in with Linux, it should direct you to the Microsoft Internet Explorer download page.
Oh, that'd be pretty bad.
That's what you need.
I bet we get some fan mail over that one. Huh?
Your browser's not supported. Please download the latest Microsoft Internet Explorer. I like that. Thanks.
That'd be funny for a weekend, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
After my inbox filled up, then we'd have to change it back. But.
That's one of those when you go to a website and they say, oh, we don't support Mozilla. We only support Netscape. Okay.
We support Netscape 7, but not Mozilla or Firefox, right?
Yeah, Lug Radio was doing a huge rant on that this week.
Talking about that on their episode. It's the same freaking thing.
I'll be getting
that
episode tonight.
That
the
National Lottery
over there they were having problems with because they said they could go in with Netscape 7, but they wouldn't let you in under Firefox. And it's the same freaking thing.
That's ridiculous, isn't it? That is so. Or you just have to change your user agent.
Yeah, you do have to listen to the way that they explain it. It's absolutely hilarious.
I'll be listening. I get most of my podcasts after like tonight because that's when I download or I test the our feed and then I just grab everything. So I usually get it on a Wednesday night or on the weekends.
Yeah, check it out. That's pretty funny, man. They're talking about that. Boom. Having problems with that. But I do see that a lot. And I really think it's ignorant. that people do that because, you know, they just... You know what I think it is, really? I think it's some guy programming web pages and front page. And they're looking for a way, because they, you know, they only want to support certain, you know, like your school or whatever. Was it your school you were talking about?
What?
Or somebody only want to support certain browsers.
That was my school.
No, it was my kid's school.
Right.
With that page. They only wanted to support certain browsers because...
That's not the school. That's the company.
The company. They only wanted to do that because they only wanted to support certain browsers. Even though, you know, they supported Netscape and Firefox is based off the same engine, Mozilla engine as Netscape. But, so what I think is happening is they're looking for, you know, just a little code snippet, and they're grabbing some code snippet off the web that does that, and nobody ever even thinks to check it against anything else. They just grab it off of somebody else's page and stuff it in there, so.
Well, yeah, see, the problem is, this is where I think the problem actually comes in. Because when you start designing a page like that, anything that you start throwing JavaScript, or any you know, formatting issues, automatically right off the bat, you have to, in my experience, you have to pull out Internet Explorer. Because a lot of times the same crap, same styles that you try to apply that work in every other browser
won't work in IE.
Buff up in Internet Explorer. So you gotta design pages differently for Internet Explorer than you do for like any other browser. So then they're like, well, if we got to do this, then we got to make sure, you know, we don't want to have to test our page against Conqueror and Opera and Firefox, right, and Mozilla. Because each one of those, you know, as much as we love them, Mozilla on OS X displays pages a little differently than it does with Mozilla on Linux, than it does with Mozilla on Windows. There's slight differences. They're not as drastic as Internet Explorer, comparing with Mozilla. But they're there. So they... Most time, people don't want to go through that hassle. They look at the reports and say, well, IE has the biggest browser share. And Netscape was so popular a few years ago, they must still be running really well. You know, and that's what they do. They just code for those two browsers. F everybody else.
Because yeah, they're lazy.
Not realizing that chances are, if it runs in Netscape, it's going to run in just about any other browser. Because they don't follow the W3C. And it's hard to follow the W3C because Microsoft doesn't follow the W3C.
But you say, yeah, if you're using front page.
Just
yeah,
like Canadian Techie just said on the chat, if you just stick to, and like I said before, you stick to basic HTML, and, you know, if you got to do some stuff in there, use some PHP so you can get some dynamic pages generated and make it nice without having to make it overcomplicated, you're good. Then you don't have any problems no matter what browser you use.
Well, see, the thing is, if you follow the W3C standards and you use a compliant browser, you can make really flashy, beautiful web pages without a lot of code that look fantastic.
Except in
IE. Well, it's because I say you follow the W3C standards. And, that, you know, it's great to say you just do some basic pages that deliver some basic information. But a lot of places, they don't want that. They want to use their page as a PR piece to show off,
sure, but
their style.
You know, like I said before, there are better ways to do it than to try putting all kinds of weird crap in there. You can make your page look really, really nice with putting some nice graphics in there and laying it out right so that you can find the information you want. You know what
right,
I mean?
But everybody wants to be able to go to what page they want to go instantaneously, hence the reason for drop-down menus. They want to, you know, they don't want to have to click, well, I want to learn about the school, and under the About section there's a, I don't know, about the curriculum. So you go to the About page, there's a link on there for the curriculum. No, they want to go right to the About curriculum page. They don't want to have to go through the About page. They don't want to have to navigate through a site. That's what I hear. They don't want to
do
that.
So why not use regular drop-down boxes then instead of using JavaScript?
Because it's not flashy enough.
Yeah. But it's functional and it works under every browser. You know
right.
What I mean?
But you know, but see, that's the thing. You have a bunch of people out there who are running, you know, Windows, and they're looking at all these pages and they're like, well, why do you have just a crappy click-on box that drops down? look at this site. I go to here, I run my mouse over it, this beautiful menu opens up, it cascades down so nicely, I can go over it and submenus come out, and it looks so pretty. Why can't you do that over here? Well, then you try and explain it to them, and they don't want to hear it.
So get a machine, keep a machine handy that only runs like Internet Explorer 5. You know, or Netscape 3 or something like that, and then say, okay, go to that page in this on this machine. And when they go there and nothing happens and they don't get any menus at all, maybe they'll think about that.
you know what I mean?
Oh, that looks so pretty over there.
Then you need another tech to keep the viruses out of that machine.
It looks so pretty over there, but
same
over
thing
here,
with Flash. Same thing. They want, well, I want the pretty Flash animations. Well, it comes at a cost. Now we can get, here's the big debate, and this is the one I have a tough time with. Tables or CSS for layout?
Tables, every time.
But they say, don't use tables, use CSS.
You know what? They've been saying that for years and years and years. They keep saying it. Oh, no, tables are depreciated. You don't use tables anymore. My ass. Tables work. CSS does not. It does for something. I'm not saying like CSS is broken, but it does not have the same level of functionality in it as tables do. And I've learned my lesson with that a few times. You know what I mean? Like using a floating table or something in CSS, and it gets all wonky and stuck in the right spot and covering up other text. Nah, just use a plain old table, and it's good, and it works. It'll work every time. It'll work in every browser almost.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. The toughest thing I have is if you want to, it would be nice to use, I like CSS, I really do.
Well, you can use them both.
You can use them both. But when you make a page and you have your page laid out that you have like a side menu.
Right.
And you try and do that in pure CSS, and unless their main part of your body always extends beyond the length of the side menu, it's hard to make it like you can with this table.
The only way you can do it
goes all the way down.
The only way you can do it in CSS is you have to do bad things, like you have to start specifying page sizes.
But yeah,
you have to specify the page width, and you have to specify page height, and that does not work all the time because
you're right, because it falls apart across other browsers.
It falls apart across browsers then. So you know, I've done my fair share of that stuff, and in those instances, man, you just use tables and run with it, you know. Drop it in, run like hell, because it'll work. But there are some things that CSS works really good for. You know, I like the way that you can get really specific, individualized controls over, like, the lines around your tables and stuff like that, and the lines and how your text is formatted as far as text decorations and coloring and you know, all that kind of stuff. It's really good for that, but like page layout with tables, CSS rots for that. Use tables instead.
Now Eric Meyer would slap you upside the head with a wet fish.
Yeah.
Or a dry one.
Whop.
Bonito shavings. Are we doing a intermission song?
Yeah, let's do an intermission song. You wanna? I wanna. We're gonna do a song called Disco King by Linum. And boys and girls, if you want to find this kind of music that we keep playing in here, for the last couple weeks I've been playing stuff off of GarageBand.com. Really cool site. Go check it out. A lot of great bands there, and you can not only can you download music for free, but if you like the guys, you can purchase their CD right online there too, and give them a listen. Here we go, Disco King by Linum.
She's a lesbian girl, she don't like me. It must be the way that I wear my heart on my sleeve. He's a disco king, he's in love with me. Till he put his hand to grips, but he found out that she is a man. I'm pictures with his ass laid back, thinking who's so sexy it hurts.
Anyway,
we're Lug Radio.
I was doing my impression of Dan there because, you know.
It looks like
he's jolly when he does his nose. No, Alan, who looks Alan. Like Hack. But Dan's
which
jolly
is one who looks like me?
Alan.
He doesn't look like me.
Lincoln's got the tall hat, so you remember.
Is his name actually Lincoln?
Lincoln.
Is his surname Lincoln?
No, his surname's Fester.
His name's not Lincoln. Lincoln. His name's Lincoln Abraham.
Link on.
The link on to Linux.
Link, anyway,
link,
again,
link,
we're
Lug
Radio.
Yeah, we're Lug Radio over in the UK. That's lugradio.org. Come along to our website.
We're British as well. We drink. We like drinking.
Cave. Brilliant. Yar.
Arr. So anyway, we're going to
Lug Radio
because we're only been given about 30 seconds. Come and listen to Lug Radio. Lugradio.org. I'm sure you'll like if you like the Linux link tech link show. I'm sure you'll like Lug Radio.
Hey, hey,
it's pretty good.
Like they said,
huh?
If you like us, you'll probably like them. So go give them a listen too. At the lugradio.org, those fine chaps over there and
jolly good chaps,
in
jolly
Great
good
Britain,
chappers,
and you know, just don't harass them and tell them that they really aren't as good as us because they like to think they're better. So just let them have that. We all know different. Right?
That's it.
Right. Hey, we got, listen, guys, we have 35 minutes with which we could have somebody Skype into the show and speak with us. Is that the idea?
As soon as Dan gets...
Yeah, it would help if I started Skype up now, wouldn't it?
Again or something. Clicky, 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 clicky.
I'm not... No, you asked a question. I provided you with an answer. So you shut your hole.
Shut your hole.
Red Peters. Whatever happened to him?
I don't know, but that was some funny stuff, man.
Yeah, Skype version 1.0.
Did you? You got the new one?
Yeah, I called Mike on it last night to do a test run. Works
Nifty.
Great.
I put it on. I never see you guys on there at all.
Yeah, I never see me on there either because I never. You know what? Aside from the tech show,
because he's never on there.
I don't have any time to touch my computer.
I get on there every now and then. I just, you know, a lot of times I get on there. There's no one else on it, so I just, you know, shut it off.
We have no contacts online.
No contacts online.
Oh, now two of them just decide to show up. Oh, here we go. They're coming on and on and on.
Oh,
and
my
on.
Goodness.
Ole, ole, ole. Andrew's on.
Are we going to connect them in?
I don't know.
Connect the file?
I don't know if he wants to.
Connect the file?
I don't want to call anybody. I'm waiting for them to call me.
Hey.
Well, I was having to, like, call people, so.
Somebody going to connect the file up here, something, something.
Yeah, I'll put the little. Oh, no, I don't want to. Random chat. No, that's all right.
Canadian Tech. He doesn't want to call in because he's Canadian.
No,
and Americans don't like Canucks. Sure we do. Just don't say Zed and you're cool.
Bum, bum, bum. We talked to a Canadian last week for over an hour.
Yeah.
We love them.
Yeah.
More Canadians. The people were screaming, more Canadians.
Yeah, we actually got emails, you know? Like, I wish you'd have more Canadians on the show.
Oh, Canada.
Bring us the Canadians.
Oh, sorry, I only know that
Bring
line.
Us.
That's what we need. We need a Canadian to call in and sing the national anthem, because we don't know what it is.
Wait a
we
minute.
Get the old Canada, and that's it. What do we got?
EXDA. Yeah. How are we pronouncing it? XDS is ringing, so you have to answer it.
Hello?
Hey, how's it going?
How come I didn't hear it ringing over the... How you doing, Andy?
All right. You're so quiet.
I'm further away from the mic than everybody else.
He's far away from the microphone, that's all.
Yeah, you have to remember our microphone just hangs in the middle of the three of us.
Let me check
hey,
out my...
how is that...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to check all out right. my mixer settings.
How is that Skype 1.0? I haven't upgraded yet because I'm lazy.
Why are you talking on it right now with us? It works pretty well. It works all just right, as
yeah.
well as the other one.
All right, I didn't know if they added anything fancy or, you know, shiny or anything like that.
I can hear us in the background on your Skype, man. You got to turn your speakers down a little bit.
I don't see anything
sorry.
Special. Not that I pay much attention to the other one, enough to just get us calling. Before. It seems more stable. I haven't had Skype crash. Like, when I first started using Skype...
The earlier versions crashed
versions
a lot.
Crashed a lot. I haven't had a crash in a little while. Yeah. Wait, it's going to go down in just a few minutes.
Blam! That's it, yeah. He jinxed it. No, I love Skype. It works really... A lot of people are complaining, you know, because, oh, Skype is like closed source and real proprietary, and it doesn't use any standard... You know... Who gives a crap? Works really, really good. It's free. What the hell? You know?
Hey, it's a lot better than TeamSpeak.
Yeah, and you know what? I think I like it a lot better than... what were we trying to...
GNOME Meeting?
GNOME Meeting, yes. I like it better than GNOME Meeting. Not that you can't get GNOME Meeting to work well. It's more difficult to do so. You know what I mean? You got to play with it.
Yeah, this is nothing more than untarring a file.
Yeah, this you grab the static binary, you untar it, there it is, it runs.
And it runs on everything.
Yeah. Well, right.
No meeting has a purpose, though. It does webcams.
Yeah. If you have a webcam. You have a webcam?
Yeah, I haven't set it up yet, though.
Andy's Nookie Cam.
Yeah.
Dan wants to know what you're wearing, right?
Yeah.
Sickos!
Oh God!
Bam! So how's college going?
It's going slow. Not too much. I'm working on creating a lug down here though.
Oh, outstanding!
What's it going to be called?
No idea. Although I'd assume it would be slug or something like that.
Now, would you be creating a lug on the university? Or would it be open to everybody in the area, the outlying community, too?
Right now we're thinking of making it more of a college thing, just to help keep it as like a quote club, you know, official club type thing. But we may open it to the community and make it a Savannah lug or something. I don't know. We're still toying with it. There's only about, at max, like 10 Linux people I've found on the campus. So I'm working on it, though.
Oh, that's way more than we started out with.
Yeah. When we started out, there was an organization at Lehigh University called, Lehigh Free Operating System Group
something.
Right. And they'd advertise stuff, and we had some loose affiliation with them, but they had Eric Raymond come in, and that's how I kind of found out about him.
Right.
But, and there was no lug in the area at the time. The sad thing was that it wasn't really for anybody but Lehigh University.
Right, they were sort of exclusive.
Students, faculty,
and
alumni. Yeah.
As soon as we really started our lug off, they just, you know, steamrolled everybody else in the area that was doing anything. So.
And then they kind of dropped off the face of the earth. LUFOG, that's what they were.
Yes.
Lehigh University Free Operating System Group. Mm-hmm. LUFOG. I don't even think. I wonder if their website's still up.
No, they were there, and there was a couple of them, weren't there? There were a couple of college affiliated groups when we started our thing out, and people that have emailed me, you know, on and off. And the college affiliated groups sound really great, but they don't. They're not as effectual because, you know, like yourself, you're going to school. If you start a lug there, what happens when you graduate? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
If you're in charge of everything and you leave, there's no one there. You know what I mean? So at least if you start a real community type group, then you get community participation and it'll be an ongoing presence instead of just a semester long kind of thing.
Current purpose is just basically to like meet up in that kind of like a meetup group, you know,
right.
meetup.com I think it is or whatever, because the only communication we've had for all the Linux geeks on campus is like the online forum for the school and stuff.
Right.
Wow, you know, you're in a confined area. You think you could get together at a computer lab, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
What are you waiting for?
Wait, so Savannah's not as confined as you think.
Oh, yeah? How big's the campus?
Throughout the whole city. I mean, it's miles and, you know, stretched apart throughout all the blocks. And people are not, like, I think less than a third live on in the dorms and stuff. So, and if you don't have a car, it's near impossible to, you know, meet those people who are off on outside housing.
Well, how do they get to the campus? They drive or they take a bus?
I assume most of them who live off of the dorms drive. Because most of the buses, they just go between the dorms and some of
the
halls.
Parties.
Yeah. How do you get to your parties, Andy?
What parties? I'm a geek. There's no partying for me.
No party for you.
My party involves compiling things.
So then when you have to go between classes, you have to walk to a different building. Do you take a bus to a different building if it's that spread out, or do you just...
I walk to most of them, but there's a few that I'll take a bus to. Like, for example, Wallen Hall, I think that's like 2 miles south or something, so I'll take a bus.
And you have to get there in 10 minutes, right?
Yeah.
That's good planning. Now, did they give you a bus pass with your college tuition?
No, you just have the use your ID for the school, and that's kind of it. Work uses we have money on there. You can have your dining stuff on there. It used to access buildings. It's like the universal card.
Oh, that's good. You guys don't need to meet in all one place. That's what IRC is for. Don't you have an IRC server going on there?
No, they used to for the school, but I guess they took it off.
Was it? He's got an IRC server. He goes to the linuxlink.net and joins channel pound slug, right? That'll work.
Okay.
That's what you need to tell him.
Unfortunately, down here, I can't run any servers of my own because they seem to block everything. Like, I even tried a simple FTP server, and they have that blocked out.
Well, yeah, you just have to use creative port routing, that's all.
Well, yeah, I'm just too lazy for that.
Start running all your web pages on 8080 or, you know, something like that. By the time they catch up with you, you can just switch them back to a different port.
Hey, Dan, click OK.
Oh, somebody trying to get in?
Yep.
Ooh.
We could have a conference going on.
Who was that? I wasn't even paying attention. Who was that?
World Peace.
Oh, Dave McDonald must be, or Joseph McLaughlin. Joel McLaughlin. Jose Arvelo.
Who's that? Who, huh?
What? Huh? Look at Andy. He's a man of mystery. His picture on Skype.
Yeah, he's just got that, you know, kind of black outline thing.
Yeah.
Did one show up for mine last week?
Huh?
Did a picture show up for mine? Because I told you to put one, but...
I don't know.
I'll have to put up a photo of me and my kilt. I'll do that soon.
Yeah. Hey, Andy, someone's calling us. I'm going to pop them on. And I'll see if I can conference everybody.
Up or whatever you want. That's fine.
Hold on. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Joel!
Hey, Link. Well,
what you got to do
How you doing?
If you want to get a conference call going, Dan, you've got to knock everybody off and then set up the conference.
Would you want me to conference everybody call? In? I know. I got to knock everybody off to do a conference call.
Okay.
Well, we'll just
hold on. I'll call you right back.
Yeah, we'll call you right back. Hang on.
Andy.
Oh, he's gone, I think.
No, he's on hold.
He's on hold?
Andy. Andy.
Yeah.
I'm going to call you right back. Hold on.
No problem.
All right. Yeah.
Great conference.
Here comes Dan doing his conference call stuff.
Dun, 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 dun.
You know, that's a one.
Canadianite's in there. I wonder if I should try and get him on.
Yeah, go for it. Let's keep adding everyone.
See what happens. Ring. Ring.
Anybody? Anybody?
All right, somebody just picked up. I don't know who it is.
It's
me,
Andy.
Of course.
Andy.
Hey, Andy.
Hello.
And Joel.
And Joel.
Hello, Link.
Hello. Hey, how you doing, man? Joel was telling me today that, actually all week long, but I haven't been reading my email. He's been telling me that how good Bash Potter works on AIX, right?
Oh, yeah.
Good
works real well.
And you said you got it working real good under OS 10 too, right? Which is Dan. You just use it under OS 10, Dan?
Yeah, it works real good on OS 10.
Yeah, you have to. I don't think OS 10 has wget on there by default. Wait, what was it? Doesn't have
it does.
By default. There's one application it didn't have because when I ported, I got rid of my Darwin port stuff. And reinstalled it. I had to get it. I forget what the application was.
Think. Would be think.
Think?
No.
Yep.
No.
Think.
You saying think? F-I-N-K?
Yeah. Yeah, you can get wget off of think.
No, I meant OS 10 by default didn't have wget.
Yeah.
I got it off the Darwin ports.
So, but that's pretty much what you had to do for AIX too, right, Joel?
Right,
actually, on AIX, I went and got it on bullfreeware.com, which is an IBM. Basically, it sets up wget in an AIX license package.
Uh-huh.
That way, I can just pop it in with AIX's packaging.
That's cool. So you got wget and you change the shebang to the corn shell up the top, and it just did its thing, huh?
Oh yeah, it just rocked. Wish I could just sit and watch the whole thing go, but I was rapidly running out of space on the home directory. So, well, it's a print server, so the home directory is kind of puny anyway.
Right. But that's cool. So
that's what I was running it on.
Yeah, for those of you who haven't checked my my weblog lately, that means that I have confirmation of Bash Potter running on Mac OS X, every version of Linux you can think of, AIX. I'm sure it runs on NetBSD, OpenBSD, and FreeBSD. I'd like to see someone try it on Solaris, but I have not seen that yet.
Yeah, it works on that. You get.
Have you tried it on Solaris?
Yeah, I got to change over to a Bash shell to do it. But
oh, well, there you go. And confirmation that it works on Solaris, too. So we're good.
Well, Solaris 10 came out.
We've covered all the major bases, I think. Yeah, that came out, and they're releasing that as freeware, right? Letting you get freeware copies?
Not exactly. It's like
is that non-commercial license?
Some weird
kind of
Sun
thing?
License. No, actually, you can do it for commercial, too. But you just, I don't know, it's kind of weird.
Single processor kind of license, like they did with, what was it, 8 and 9 they did that? You can run it for free if it's on a single processor machine. I still would like to try that, but from what I understand, in order to run Solaris on like an x86 box, you really got to have a beefy box.
I've never run it on.
You haven't run on? And I don't have
no,
any.
We have all, you know, Sun hardware.
I don't have any fast Sun hardware either that I could stick it on to play with. I really would like to play with it, though.
Yeah.
Someday that'll happen. AIX, I'd love to run that, too. Soon as Joel sends me, soon as Joel sends me a nice IBM box, I can run AIX on. Well, I'll let you all know how it goes.
I can't even get a box to test on at work, so test OS releases, that is. Because we're very soon going to probably 5.3's due soon.
Mm-hmm.
And when you add AIX 5.3, we run a Power 5 at work. Big box. And uses logical partitioning. You can run multiple servers all in one box. And 5.3 adds the ability with some IBM feature code, adds an ability to create an LPAR with a fraction of a CPU, as low as 1/10.
Really?
Of a CPU.
That's pretty cool.
Hmm. Yeah. That's really cool. I'm kind of excited about that because we can play around with PPC Linux on it in a small partition. Of course, we probably will end up having to wait until it graduates to a test or goes down to our test box.
Right.
Before we do that, because it's kind of the box that runs the college. I can't really screw around with that too much. But, yeah, AIX is pretty dang good. And IBM's doing a really great job with it.
You have a lot of fun playing with Smitty on that, huh?
Smitty's great, actually. You know, it's probably the thing I hate the most is the ODM. That's like IBM's it's like a registry almost.
Right.
Kind of sucks, but it doesn't screw up very often.
Well, not everything can be Linux, I guess.
No. That big Power 5 can actually, the fun thing is that Power 5 can actually run OS 400 if we ever want to. Not that we would, but...
Right.
But it's because IBM has kind of taken the old the P series and the I series are pretty much the same now. Architecture-wise, so far as the hardware.
Right.
So you can load AIX on your OS 400 box, and you can run OS 400 on your AIX box if you want. Oh, and it uses Linux for the HMC.
Now that's cool.
Yeah, that's a hardware management console, which is basically an IBM X series server.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's where you do all the LPARing and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Uses Fluxbox.
Sounds like you got much better hardware to play with at work than I do, I'll tell you that for sure.
Well, I don't get to play, you know, some people say, oh, you guys are getting new toys. I was like, yeah, it's not really a new toy, it's just more work.
Right. Well, that's the way I feel about my big servers at work, too. Except for my big servers run SCO Unix, which is, I would rather do AIX any day of the week, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, not that, you know, in defense of SCO, even though I think they're a bunch of bastards, right? SCO Unix works really well for what it does. It's not like the most user-friendly of Unixes out there. And if they had not been such a bunch of greedy, money-hungry pricks going after everybody, they could have probably continued to market their SCO Unix product for quite a while because they were filling a niche, you know? But as it sits now, with their funneled all their profit-making energy into lawsuits, and they lost their market. So, good riddance. You know, I'll
bye bye.
Maybe I'll piss on their grave when they're gone or something. You never know. At any rate,
hey, to completely change gears, as I'm known to do that. Does anyone know of a good like graphical disk usage utility for GNOME or any like X in general or anything?
A disk usage utility?
That shows kind of like when you click on it. Yeah, kind of graph.
Like on KDE, like Kdirstat, but since I use GNOME, like is there? I remember in the back of one
there's
journal one
GNOME
time, there's one that showed
like
circles.
Like that. Yeah, I think there's GNOME. Is it called GNOME Monitor?
Do 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 do.
I'm beeping. There's no M in there. What is it called, people? Come on, hit me on the IRC. It's GNOME something. GNOME stats or. Nobody knows.
I know in the back of
it's
like Linux Journal, there's.
Box, man.
What's that?
System tools.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody's saying GK Realm. That's true too. But
I've
there is
used
one
that.
There is one for GNOME.
Even if it used like TK or something, you know, whatever works. I don't.
No, there's one in there.
I don't see one. Under systems, A-Turbo, configuration, floppy format, root terminal.
I remember seeing one at one point that like showed like
GNOME-system
like circles.
GNOME-system.monitor or GNOME-system-monitor. GNOME-system-monitor.
And but
isn't that an applet?
No, it's a regular.
It'll show you percentage wise with a little.
It shows you percentage.
Little graph reader, but not like a. I don't know if you're looking.
Because I'm running a little the applet
monitor.
Thing.
If you run a damn applet thing, what do you need anything else for?
Right? No, I want to check like the size of like graphically check the size of directories and files and stuff.
Oh, graphically.
Like Kdirstat.
Yeah. Ooh.
Like, I have, like, you know, the monitor and that running, but...
Wasn't there an eplet on Enlightenment? I'm trying to remember myself. I thought Enlightenment had something at one point.
Sure.
Not a clue, man. See, this is one of those things where it just passes me by, because, like, I'm one of those guys that I will use, you know... VM stat to check my stuff, you know what I mean? Or
DF. Like
that. Yeah, disk free. I'm happy with that, you know?
Yeah, I use a terminal in that, yeah, but that's whenever I'm lazy.
I just.
System monitors top.
Yeah, I just have one of them things where, like, I'm from the old school and I remember running on hardware that was so damn slow that, like, if you ran a graphical disk monitor on it, you couldn't, like, open a terminal window at the same time. You know what I mean? So, I would rather just run a terminal window and jump in here real quick and do a disk free.
Be very quiet. He's on a conference.
Hi, Joel's wife.
I don't, you know.
The guys on the tech show say hi, honey.
It's funny.
I was wondering what was going on.
It's a very sensitive mic.
Yeah. It's just the one built in my PowerBook.
It seems to be working just fine, man.
You know what, Andy? You just need to run X-Cruise. That'll show you all you need to know about your file system. Just fly your way through there. It's got nice little pretty colors.
That's a monster thing, too.
There you go. That's all you need.
So okay.
I'm still looking, like, and no one has emailed us. Make sure you guys email us some questions to ask some of these people. Because, you know, I really have no idea what the hell to ask them. And I'll ask them stupid things, you know. You know. What color underwear you got on. You know. Something.
Well, I'm checking out that X-Cruise thing right now. I've never seen it before. It's pretty crazy.
Crazy is the word for it, yeah?
Yeah, it does. Right.
Interestingly enough, that's modeled after an SGI app that actually exists. And if you watch Jurassic Park, when the girl is like surfing through the computer system on the SGI systems in Jurassic Park.
Yeah, with like the buildings.
Yeah, that's the same thing, man. That's modeled after that app, which actually exists on an SGI system. Yeah.
What's actually, FSB.
I thought that was just a bunch of crap.
I can run it on my Octane at home. What's that?
What's there's FSV out.
Right, it's FSV. It's what's this one called? X. What is it?
X Cruise.
X Cruise. Yeah. It's just about like that SGI app. But it's pretty cool. They really are, you know, useless as hell, I think, but they're neat to look at. You know. But then again, it's just
I've tried opinion. FSV. That's, there you go, Andy. FSV. That'll give you a graphical representation.
Yeah, FSV. It kind of takes, when you first fire it up, it scans through your hard drive, so it's kind of annoying. But it does give you a good idea. Like, you can just look at my iTunes folder, and it's huge. So
I haven't used that.
That looks just like from Jurassic Park.
Right. Yep. Same kind of thing, man.
Wow. Okay. That'll keep me happy.
It's it's useless, but it's one of those apps that, like, if you kept it hanging around on your drive, just sneaking around on there, you wanted to whip out Linux on somebody and really impress the shit out of them, that would do it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You can say, oh, can you surfer on your file system like this, you know? And it really is useless. But
well, sometimes
it's good for that.
I sometimes find it handy when, like, disk space is being, you know, eaten up by something, and you can fire up the graphic one, find out what file is massive now.
Yeah. Yep, you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that. I find I have the opposite problem, is every time I fire one of them up, I end up using up all my memory. So, and you got this giant graphical app running and sucking all your memory resources up. So I'll just stick with it. I'll stick with the terminal myself, thanks. But they sure are pretty, aren't they?
Pretty pictures, man.
Yeah. That's how we sell the Linux stuff. Not by making it work good, because it already works good, but by making it pretty now.
I gotta remember a long time ago that when I first saw a screenshot of Enlightenment, that's why I wanted to run Linux, but now it sucks.
Right. It's old and flat now and doesn't do anything, you know.
Yeah, and God bless Master Mandrake. But, you know, it's just taking forever for, what, 0.0.17 to come out. It's just, I'm tired of waiting. Heck with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I contribute, but heck, I can't do C, man.
Well, there's lots of other ways to contribute. Make sure you check it out and send in bug reports and crap like that. That helps, too.
Oh, yeah.
I found a bug in Sunbird for OS 10.
I'm working on that.
Oh?
Good.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. And a fix
the other show when Marcel said when the other show when Marcel told everyone to try and spread Linux and that and get other people to try it and stuff.
Right.
I just want to let you guys know that I did do my job. I'm burning Nopix in a day or two for a few people.
All right. No.
Yeah, 3.7's out. Which Nopix version you burn? 3.7?
No Ubuntu.
No, what Nopix version?
Whatever the latest is.
3.7, right.
Any of you guys ever see DSL yet? As in damn small Linux?
I've heard of it. I haven't actually tried it. I heard it's really
good.
They
have a version that fits on a USB key and runs under, forget what emulator, but runs in a window on top of Windows.
Oh, cool.
And Linux, for that matter, too, I think.
I forget which one.
Do either.
I'll take a look for that one.
I haven't tried Damn Small
now,
yet.
Does
but
that have...
goes onto a USB stick that I've done.
Does that have a GUI with it, too, Damn Small? Or is that one of them you have to put an ad
X-Windows.
On the GUI?
One's X-Windows.
Yeah, is it all included, or do you have to put an ad on with it to get it to run?
All included.
I have to check that out.
Fits at 50 megs. DanSmallLinux.org.
Wow. I'm going to get that and slap that on my thumb drive. If I find my damn thumb drive, I'll be good to go. That's something to do tonight.
All right, fellas. Well, we're at 22:05 almost, which means we're 5 minutes over time for this week. So we're gonna call it good.
Close.
Let's call it good.
Remember, next week, Michael Stutz.
Right. We'll call it good. Next week, we have a special guest star, Michael Stutz, who wrote the Linux Cookbook, both editions, as a matter of fact. Please get that book if you haven't seen it yet. Check it out. It's really, really good. And get us some good questions to ask this gentleman so that, you know, we make sure to ask him the things that you actually want to hear for the show. Until then, thank you for listening to us on the Linux Link Tech Show, episode number 69.
Woo-hoo.
My name is Link.
I'm Alan.
Dan.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, special people. Good night. Good night, special people.
Linux Link Tech Show.
Linux Link Tech Show.
Linux Link Tech Show.